Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. This is Dick Staub back with you. You're listening to Kindling's Muse. Our guest is Randy Olson, Harvard-trained biologist turned filmmaker, who has a little bit of wit and whimsy in him because he likes to tell stories, but he likes to find the funny part of the story. And there was no shortage of funny characters in The Flock of Dodos on both the intelligent design and on the evolutionist side. You end up at a poker game at Harvard among kind of the brightest of the bright, the elitist of the elite, and you kind of drop the discussion down in the midst of them. And what did you find in that poker game in terms of how the scientific community understands the significance of the issue, the nature of what's at stake, and the importance of them taking it more seriously? I mean, what happens in this poker game?
Well, that, you know, first and foremost was that that was a piece of unscripted entertainment.
Yeah.
And it ends up being actually a lot like the movie Borat, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Where he used unscripted entertainment. And I, in, after the fact, have realized that this really is the appetite of the American public today, is that everybody loves this sort of unscripted entertainment. And I only pulled the poker game together as a means of basically interviewing seven evolutionists all at once, rather than having to do seven different interviews. And I thought it'd be fun to have this little tribute kind of poker game, because Stephen Jay Gould used to play us. And what I didn't expect to have happen was what happened, which was two of the guys got into a spat. Now, having said that, what's also fascinating is to know that at the end of the night, we all thought that the whole poker game thing was a bust, because most of what everybody remembered was one particular character gave very long-winded lectures throughout the entire thing,
right,
and kind of put a wet blanket on most of the night, and everybody was exhausted by the end of the night about, you know, no more lectures about this stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't see any of that in the film because there was no need to include that. And what happened was during the course that we played for 6 hours, shot for 4 hours, and somewhere in the middle of that evening, two guys got into a little bit of a spat. And it was only a few seconds in real time. But when you blow that up in the big screen and put it in the center of the movie and put it in the right way and tell a story that builds up to it, it turns out to be pretty powerful. And it's the most powerful part of the film.
What was their spat?
You know, in watching this film for the past year now, probably 35 screenings we've had, I've come to realize that the two guys represent today's two voices of the world of science with regard to something like this issue. So on the one side was Steve Orzak, who is today's typical, traditional voice of the past of science, mostly the older folks who think that nothing's different today than ever was in the past, and science is big and mighty and powerful, and you don't have to worry about society, and so what about this intelligent design thing? Very naysaying and negating. And Tom Givnish was perhaps the voice of the future, is certainly the voice of change in science, which is much more humanized and much more energized and passionate, much more concerned about society and the way that science is interacting with society, much more willing to take some chances and speak from the heart and say things that get a response. And as a result, he gets a big response in both directions. So he ends up saying the only line by an evolutionist in the whole movie that caused all the evolutionists at their meeting last June, when we showed it to 600 evolutionists in a big auditorium. And at one point, Tom Givnish says, "I think somebody needs to stand up to these people and say, you're a bunch of idiots." And, you know, that's shooting from the hip. Those weren't carefully chosen words, but the audience just cheered, "Yes!" And then later in the movie, he ends up getting in this spat with Steve Orzak over their disagreement again about how important this issue is. And Tom ends up behaving a little bit immature and saying, you know, "I have the floor, excuse me, I have the floor." And as he does so, he comes across like the typical kind of demanding academic, and it's fairly laughable and it makes audiences laugh
out
loud. But
here's how it hit me, and tell me if you're getting this response.
Sure.
Because I'm a guy that has spent most of my career trying to stand at the crossroads of people that don't agree and trying to hear them. I was amazed at the degree to which they weren't addressing the issues. I heard them talking about the Crusades, Galileo, Inquisition, which is classic ad hominem irrelevant argument. When they talked about burning at the stake, I mean, as if this is what's happening. You know, it was very witch huntish. It was very anti-intellectual.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't an intelligent discussion about what's really going on. It was kind of this passionate, in my view, uneducated view of the broader world in which they're doing science. Well, then you know, they talked about the intelligent design folks as if they were creationists, and you know they used that phrase, and to me that was just, okay, once again, you're not paying attention. Something your own film has already established the ground shifted. And then the thing about our opponents are ignoramuses who know nothing.
Yeah.
And this is about mendacity, lying. It's about intelligent design is of, by, and for lawyers. To me, it just illustrated why there's a problem.
Well, you know, I'll come to...
Are other people seeing that? Because I watched it on a flight.
Uh-huh.
And I shared the headset with the guy next to me who's a scientist. He was appalled at how stupid they looked. You know, what ends up happening is the mere mortal looks at them and says, these guys are the dodos.
Right. Well,
they're supposed to be the smart guys.
And you know, you can blame me for all of that, basically. I was the editor. I was the one that crafted the story.
Yeah.
And I intentionally took the proper moments to get that effect. So I was trying to cast that to a large extent. But nevertheless, this is in these screenings, we have a little booklets that we hand out, and it's got 10 questions at the beginning, 10 questions for discussion.
Right.
And the first question is this an important issue?
Right.
And that's a tough question.
And
still.
Is evolution, is the field in crisis?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But really, is this an important issue in our society right now? And it's easy to be of two minds of that, because it's easy to say evolution's a great big monolithic discipline, blah, blah, blah. But then some of the things Tom was saying that night may seem witch huntish, but they are true to some extent. And so he said that the line in there about, you know, with the National Science Foundation, you have to write this paragraph for the general public. And that a guy had suggested to him, you don't put the word evolution in there, which I heard from two other major scientists have verified that. So
well,
it wasn't
and that's
just him.
The politicization issue.
That's
which
it.
Everybody
exactly.
would agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But is that an important issue? Is that serious?
That is an important issue.
Well, then, so that's what's driving their
But see, over on
concern.
This corner, by that point in the documentary,
you've
had Behe, who pretty much is limiting his discussion to his scientific views on this subject.
Right.
Then you go over to the guys at Harvard, and they're not talking about science. They're talking about history. They're talking about witch hunts. They're talking about
polemics.
polemics. So one of the things that... Either it's the law of unintended consequences or is one of the truths that emerged from this documentary for me was both sides, if we're going to find any way of communicating about this, need to have some level of respect for the other.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist.
Right.
I mean, it's basically classic polarization and then demonization.
Yeah, totally demonization,
which
is a lot of my starting point in doing the whole film.
Yeah.
I read this article in The New Yorker by Alan Orr called De-Evolution in June of 2005.
Right.
That was what catalyzed everything. And then I went to the blogs, and that's where I saw it, was all of this bellicose rhetoric, you know, insulting intelligent designers, calling them the worst possible names. And in a lot of ways, here's another dynamic of this film, which is it is symptomatic of our society right now that we've got these blogs. And all these people get to sit in their bedrooms at 3 o'clock in the morning in their underwear and type these heroic statements about, you know, I want to kill all you people. And they would never say that in public. And so we've made a film that we go out there and we show it in public. And we've had 35 screenings. And there's only one little case of a few tempers flaring in Kansas at one of the discussions afterwards.
Right.
But all the rest of them have been very civilized discussions back and forth.
Yeah.
And where are all these monsters that you see on the blogs? They're not going to come out in the town square and actually discuss these things.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a worry, because once upon a time, we did have a society where everybody met in public and discussed issues. Now we're getting this weird internet space.
But this is a generational issue. And the younger generation puts confidence in what's happening in the blogs, whereas the older generation puts blogging in a certain context of consider the source. You know, and it's a really, really interesting dynamic.
Definitely.
We're going to pick up there with our guest, Randy Olson. Look, we're just barely scratching the surface. You got a sea flock of dodos. Wherever you're coming from on this issue, you're going to laugh. You're going to get ticked off. It's going to make you think. And that was the purpose. We'll be back with more right after this. Don't go away.
Join us for our next podcast. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.